You're listening to Shared Security, a podcast that explores the bonds shared between people and technology. Hosted by Tom Esten, Scott Wright, and Kevin Johnson. Welcome to episode 320 of the Shared Security Podcast. And this week we want to discuss who's to blame if your Facebook or Instagram accounts get hacked. Well, it may be easy to say that maybe you're to blame because you used a poor password or didn't use two-factor authentication, so on and so on. But it also could be Meta, right? I mean, it's their platform. So we're going to have a spirited discussion, I think, about that one. And then we're going to finish up with our Aware Much segment to discuss spoofed Zoom, Google, and Skype meeting requests that are spreading rats. Now, this is not the cute, furry, rodent type of rat we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Hey, some people think that rats are cute and actually have them as pets. So
that's fair.
If any of our listeners have rats as pets, they are cute to them.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but we're talking about malware. We're actually talking about remote access Trojans.
Yes.
Yes. And look who's back on the podcast. It's Mr. Scott Wright.
Hey, folks. Good to be back. Sorry, was too busy to poke my head out for a while. But
this is life in a startup,
it
right,
is,
Scott?
It is, yeah. I recommend it to everybody. Actually, no, I don't.
I say everyone in the world.
Everybody should at one time start a company and feel the
start
pain.
Start a company and feel the pain of having no more free time to do anything else.
That's it,
yeah. But your startup. Well, we had some great discussions while you were out. We did talk about the Canadian government and the U.S. government and lots of good government discussions like we always do with Kevin giving his opinions about things, spirited opinions.
Yeah, but, I'm sorry I missed that. You know,
that's okay. It's okay. Maybe next time. So let's talk about who's to blame for your Meta account. So your Facebook or Instagram account being hacked.
So why is it specifically Facebook or Instagram that are sort of being highlighted here? Is there nothing wrong with X or other platforms that this could happen with?
So this is coming from a Wired article that talked about how 41 state attorney generals in the United States had sent a letter to Meta regarding this surge of complaints that their local governments are getting about Facebook and Instagram accounts being stolen. So there's been a larger impact on local governments trying to handle the types of fraud, phishing, all the things that are stemming from both Facebook and Instagram. And they're asking Facebook and Instagram to basically step up your security, because we can't handle all of this. And as you know, Scott, there are a lot of different types of scams that are happening through Facebook Messenger, through, you know, clicking on links that are within the Facebook platform that come up in your newsfeed that lead to scams. There's a lot of fake ads that fraudsters buy to entice people to click on these links and then to basically fund these ad campaigns to spread more malware. So people are losing money through Facebook, which Facebook is actually profiting from these scams. So I don't blame these attorney generals that are like coming together and saying, listen, like, you guys are actually making money on all this fraud that people in our state or our states are losing, so you need to do a better job with this.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I hadn't really thought of the fact that, first of all, that the platform is making money from it. But second of all, you know, we know that phishing is, you know, rampant and all kinds of other social engineering attacks. But by this time, I would have thought that we'd have enough multi-factor authentication that it would be kind of hard to take over an account unless it didn't have MFA turned on. Or I guess, if you're still using SMS-based MFA, you could have SIM swapping that could, I don't know, is that true? Is it like if you're using an authenticator app versus SMS, does that make it harder to prevent SIM swapping?
I think unless you're specifically targeted for a SIM swapping attack, I think it's going to be more rare than, say, a phishing attack. In fact, I think a lot of the attacks that we see on Facebook, Instagram, X, all the social media sites these days are really around phishing and around other people's accounts being compromised, like your friends' accounts being compromised, and then they send you a message saying, hey, I'm in distress or I need money. I need you to get these
Then you're getting social engineered by people you think you trust, right?
Correct. So there's a lot of that. And then, like I mentioned, the ads, fraudulent ads that are being purchased, you know, legally.
Well, maybe not legally.
They're maybe using money that's been stolen from somebody else, really kind of feeding this ecosystem of fraud within their platform.
Sounds like a 60-minute story that needs to be done here.
It could be. It could be. Well, that's why we're covering it on this podcast.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've sort of upstaged them. So, yeah. But so that means I'm just trying to get to the bottom of it from a regular layman's understanding point of view. So phishing attacks can still take over these accounts, most likely because they don't have MFA turned on or because they're doing a man in the middle to actually take over the account.
I mean, it's hard to say, right? I mean, we all recommend 2FA, right? Two-factor authentication. Most people are still not enabling that. From what I know, I believe, and I am not on Facebook or Instagram anymore, but when I used to be on it, they didn't force you to use two-factor authentication.
Right.
And I believe that is still the case where you can still use a password login to log in. So accounts can still be compromised through a regular password guessing attack.
Yeah. And I guess on X, it's harder to do because if you wanted to do just SMS or no multi-factor, they actually make you pay, don't they, or something to have to turn off your MFA? I can't remember.
Well, to move away from SMS two-factor, you have to be a Twitter premium whatever.
Got that backwards.
Like they have all these levels. Yeah. It's backwards. So it's kind of like pay for security, right? Or for better security.
Yeah.
But like we always tell people, right? Like, yes, SMS two-factor authentication is not as secure as app-based two-factor authentication, but it's better than nothing. And unless you have a specific, you know, risk profile, like you're a high-risk individual with a threat model, right? You're, if you're Taylor Swift,
she would get SIM swapped every day. So, yeah.
Yes. you better have two-factor authentication through an app.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, on another front with this, you know, the government activity is pretty impressive in terms of how many state governments are sort of taking on this challenge. What do you think that it's just, is that government's only option here is to put that sort of moral obligation on?
Well, I mean, I think this is the start of like putting maybe legal pressure on Meta because, you know, once they start involving lawyers, I kind of feel like, well, that's going to be the next step, right? There's going to be maybe some lawsuits. And I think this is the first step of that where they sent this letter. I mean, it's just like, this is lawyer 101, right? Yeah. They send you a letter, cease and desist letter. They send you the letter and then they ask you nicely. And then the next step is, you know, lawsuit time.
Tightening up things. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I think this is like their first kind of warning. And of course, Meta has replied saying, hey, we have this, you know, extensive fraud team. We're doing all these things.
Yeah.
And it's kind of been their same story. But, you know, I tend to agree with these attorney generals because it seems like they can do a lot more. And the fact that they're making money off of a lot of this.
Yeah, you got to kind of look at the big picture, right? It's not just a breach. It's all the other things that impact people around it. And the money flow, as you said, is really kind of interesting. And
it's the ecosystem.
Yeah, I mean, is it 41 states, it said, or how many?
Yeah. 41 states in the U.S.
I don't know how much that'll accomplish, but if you got the Canadian Privacy Commissioner in there, I think that then things would start to happen, right?
You know, that is funny because as soon as Canada does something, then, oh we're going to take this seriously, guys.
Yeah.
But if the U.S. does it, they're like, oh, I'll put that in the back burner.
And I noticed it was Letitia James, the New York Attorney General. She's the one that's also prosecuting Trump, right? She's got, like, how does she find the time to do all this? I don't know.
Yeah. It's just
Totally.
Yeah, she's involved in some controversy herself with this supposed affair and like all this weird stuff going on. So,
Yeah. Security is just such an interesting thing now to talk about, right?
Well, Scott, aren't you just glad to be Canadian? You don't have to deal with all this U.S. politics stuff, right?
So, yeah, I just wish the weather was better. That's all.
But it's getting better. Like, what is? It's beautiful out now.
Oh, it's pretty,
here in Ohio.
Yeah,
What about you? It's got to be nice.
It's pretty nice here today too. We're not too far apart.
No, we're not. Yeah. No, we're not. Like, spring feels like we're here. We like to call it false spring around these parts.
Yeah.
Because it'll probably snow.
We'll get another blizzard in the next week or two.
3 feet in 2 weeks, yeah. Are you tired of compromising on security when it comes to managed file transfer? Look no further. Meet Kiteworks, the most secure MFT on the market today. Kiteworks MFT suite is not just secure, it's FedRAMP moderate authorized by the Department of Defense since 2017. This means it undergoes yearly audits and continuous monitoring by certified third-party assessors. But that's not all. Kiteworks provides a world-class secure file sharing and email platform. Easy for end users, manageable for administrators. With custom integrations, unified console management, Kiteworks sets the bar high where traditional MFT servers fall short. Step into the future of secure managed file transfer with Kiteworks. Visit kiteworks.com to get started today. That's kiteworks.com to get started today. Well, Scott, I think this is now a great time to go back to the segment that we all love to talk about, and that is Aware Much.
Yes, Tom, it feels like forever since we've done the last live Aware Much segment, but it's brought to you by ClickArmor, as you know, the most engaging and effective security awareness and compliance training that's available today. So today we're going to highlight a new threat that uses online meetings as the attack vector, and it's targeting corporate users, which is interesting, using convincing URLs based in shared web hosting sites. And they're looking a lot like, you know, things that people might recognize, like join-skype.info or online-cloudmeeting.pro or us06webzoomus. You know, there's all these URLs you're used to seeing, and it's taking some people in, and it's causing some malware to be spread. Maybe, Tom, you could sort of go into the kinds of things that are happening from this.
Yeah, it's a really interesting kind of malware. So this is a RAT, which is called a remote access Trojan. So basically it is a Trojan horse type of malware that lives on a system kind of monitoring activity. So this has been known to kind of like turn on somebody's camera, their microphone, even keylog in a lot of instances. So, you know, this is probably the most common type of thing that I think we all see out there as professionals. A lot of times this malware will also download other components, oftentimes that includes ransomware and other things like that. So personally for me, I think what makes this attack interesting is that how it masquerades itself as legitimate meeting invites, and the URLs in some cases are very convincing, which I thought was kind of concerning, especially if, you know, we're all trained to look at these URLs, but this one in particular is a little more convincing in that they show, we'll link this in the show notes, the article, but it was interesting. The other thing I'll call out too is I was not a fan of kind of their advice in this article, which was make sure you have regular updates computer and, you know, to defend against these things and patches, right? But they don't talk about, hey, look at the URL of anything before you actually click it. And those basic things that we teach people all the time.
Yeah. But even that's getting harder and harder, right? I mean, there's a sort of constant battle on the awareness front is it worth trying to teach people stuff that's very technical? Well, if it's very technical, then there should be some technology that can spot it, you know? And I was looking at one yesterday, not related to this attack, but actually in our cybersecurity awareness forum yesterday, I posted a link to a book on Amazon. And so I went to the Amazon site, picked up the shared link, and I pasted it into the Zoom chat. And the link started with, after HTTPS, it was a.co /d6yr, whatever. Right? Like the domain is a.co. Like how, who's supposed to know that that's an amazon.com link, right? And, and that I'm not just trying to fish somebody, right? So it's really, really hard now when companies are looking for them, you know, these cool, you know, condensed, shortened URLs. And also, I think the reason that these attacks that we're talking about now are more effective is they are using, you know, shared hosting sites. And some of those are on valid, you know, top level domains. You're going, well, it's a Google thing, or it's, you know, an AWS thing, or it's an Oracle thing. And they're going to trust it. And it just happens that you can actually buy hosting on those domains. And basically that's the problem, right? Is you're getting a domain that's actually trusted, but you're putting something malicious in it almost at will. So I find that's a tough thing. You know, it is, you got to get better at the technology aside, because you can't expect people to learn some of these things.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And to your point, how identifying malicious URLs, it is getting harder because the attackers start getting more crafty with how, like you said, with these domain names. Remember, we had that episode where we talked about like .zip, and we talked about some of these other domain names that come out. And now there are just hundreds of different types of domain names. We never had that, like, not even like 10 years ago. So there's the opportunity now for attackers to get more creative with the links they're sending.
True. The other thing I thought was interesting in this article is they specifically call out Android and Windows. They don't mention Mac. So what do you make of that?
You know, again, I feel like Macs can get malware too. Maybe they're not as targeted as Windows, but it is funny how we always seem to think, and you know, Mac users are still susceptible to any type of phishing attack, for fraud, for giving away passwords or information. Like, it doesn't really matter.
I mean, yeah, especially if it doesn't need to get into the OS or an installation of malware.
So we don't want to tell people that are running a Mac that, oh yeah, you're less vulnerable. It's just you may not be the largest target, but
yeah, that's true. So yeah, it's an interesting story. And this installment of Aware Much was brought to you by ClickArmor. And just wanted to say, what we're starting to learn about ClickArmor and the people who love it are that it really bridges the gap between people who are taking basic, you know, boring content, you know, in training, and then being tested with live phishing simulations, assuming that they've learned something from that content that they were given. And there is a gap there. You can't really expect people to understand, retain the knowledge, and then be able to apply that knowledge when they're seeing the next attack. And so what ClickArmor does is kind of goes in between, you know, the basic training and the live tests, where we can actually improve people's confidence and their proficiency by showing them much more interactive scenarios and things that they'll see in the real world. And that really seems to be much more effective. So if you're interested in improving your engagement and your awareness before you do your testing, have a look at ClickArmor. That's clickarmor.ca. And we'd love to work with any organizations that are looking to improve their security awareness.
Thank you, Scott. Great to have you back on the podcast. And I think we have we have you scheduled here for the next couple.
Yeah, we'll be back for a couple of weeks for sure.
Including, we do have a very special guest coming up in a couple of weeks. We're not going to mention who that special guest is, but it is someone that we have wanted to get on this show for a long time. So it's going to be a really great discussion. So maybe we'll get some hints about that next week. I know. But yeah, I think we'll make this a short and sweet episode. Kevin is away this week at a conference. He's at the AID conference in West Virginia. So I think it's at Marshall University there. So he's, I'm sure, having a great time there, and he'll be back with us next week. But
awesome.
I do want to say, if you haven't subscribed to the podcast, either through however you like to listen to the audio version of this podcast, through Apple Podcasts or through Android or what have you, we would really appreciate you hitting that subscribe button. And the same thing on YouTube. So we have a growing YouTube channel, so please subscribe to us there. It would be much appreciated. And if you would like to support the podcast further, we do have a Patreon where you can get access to some exclusive bonus episodes, as well as ad-free versions of the show every week. And it would really help us out. So you can check that out at patreon.com/sharedsecurity. So I think that's all we have this week. So thank you, Scott. And thank you all for listening. And until next time, stay safe, stay secure, and stay private. Thanks for watching or listening to this episode. Please subscribe wherever you like to listen to podcasts and visit us at sharedsecurity.net or on X at SharedSec. If you'd like to help support the podcast and get early access to new episodes with no ads, plus many more exclusive benefits, become an official supporter of the podcast for only $5 a month. Visit sharedsecurity.net/supporter for more details.